Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language, and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com and going to the Ask Us Anything page. And while you're at pleasuremechanics.com, check out our complete suite of video guides and online courses so you can become a better lover and have the amazing sex life you deserve. On this episode, we are going to be talking about one of the most common sexual fantasies. It's the subject of our newest book, an erotica short story. And at the end of this podcast, Charlotte will read you an excerpt from the book in her beautiful British accent, so make sure to stay tuned for that.
Chris writes this gorgeous erotica short story series called the Fantasy A to Z series, and we ask our community to vote on which erotica short story they want next, and this one was voted on. And it's no wonder it rose to the top, because it's one of the most common sexual fantasies that people have.
And it is da-da-da,
co-worker sex.
Office sex, office romances, office flings, coworker crushes, whatever you want to call it. It is one of the most common sexual fantasies and one of the most common sex acts as well. There's lots of actual office sex happening, and that can or cannot be a good idea, and we'll get into that later in the episode. But I wrote this erotica short story, C is for Coworker. It's the fourth installment in the series. We had T is for Threesome, B is for Bondage, P is for Pegging, and now C is for Coworker. And it's super fun to write these short stories, and I do so to explore the common sexual fantasies and give you an opportunity to slip in the skin of these different characters as they explore the range of what is sexually possible. And as you know, this is what fantasy is all about. It's about exploring with our erotic imaginations beyond what is actually possible in our day-to-day lives and into the vast terrain of the possibilities of human sexuality. And in sexual fantasy, you can be anyone. You can be a gay man in San Francisco. You can be an alien exploring new territories. You can be a deep sea diver having a tryst with a mermaid. You can embody different personas and different archetypes and have adventures that you'd never be able to have in your actual sex life. And sex fantasy is so important for a healthy sex life, and we've talked about this in a lot of other podcasts. But what was interesting about this particular book is that coworker sex is, for many people, not just a fantasy, but it slips into the realm of desire and reality. We know that most extramarital affairs are actually with coworkers. And so this takes it beyond just the realm of fantasy into a quandary a lot of people have about having crushes on their coworkers and flirtation with coworkers. And coworker sex actually poses a real threat to people's marriages and to their sexual well-being. And so this is one of those fantasies that, unlike mermaid sex, it really sits on that boundary between fantasy and desire and imagination and reality. So I found that was really interesting to write about.
In 2005, there was a study done where half of the people who were engaged in infidelity were doing so with coworkers. And in another study, the percentage of men and women who admitted to having an affair with coworkers were 36%.
And so why is this? Like, why are coworkers such desirable people in our lives? Like, why is this such a common sexual fantasy, and why is it tempting us to cheat on our spouses?
I think there are three main reasons why this is so common. The first is that it's just taboo. And the second is that you're just spending a lot of time with coworkers and you're in close proximity to them. And the third is because there's often power dynamics in the office that can contribute to arousal and desire.
So let's explore these three reasons. I think the first that you mentioned, the taboo nature of it, is probably one of the strongest reasons. Anytime sexual energy is forced to be sublimated, it actually becomes more powerful. And so almost every workplace has rules against dating coworkers and flirting with coworkers. And a lot of this is to prevent office drama and sexual harassment suits. But in an environment where men and women and men and men and women are working together, and working so closely together and yet are not allowed to express their sexualities, everything becomes heightened. And I was just watching a show this morning, and there was a scene between a male and a female coworker, and she was getting really feisty about a case they were working on together. And he said, you know, ooh, you're getting so aggressive. I like that. And then there was this charged moment of eye contact between them. And of course, he was really talking about her aggression in the workplace, but then it has this double meaning. And I think that this can happen all the time in the workplace where, because you're not allowed to be directly sexual like you would be able to be at a bar or a singles club or a party, you're in the workplace, and so you have to have that kind of button down. Everything becomes heightened, and this double entendre actually works to heighten sexual energy rather than repress it. And the taboo nature of being able to actually flirt and let alone, you know, make out or ask your coworker out on a date means that everything becomes supercharged and under the table. And for a lot of people, that is a recipe for fantasy, and it's a recipe for a lot of arousal. And I think this can work to our advantage. And we'll talk at the end of the episode about how to use coworker fantasy to fuel your own sex life and your own desire. And we'll talk at the end of the episode about how coworker fantasy can be used as a kind of energy to get you through your workday and how it can be used to fuel your own sex life. But for now, just keep in mind that anywhere sexual energy is repressed and taboo, it actually becomes heightened. And this is one of the top reasons that office sex and coworker sex is as common of a sexual fantasy as it is.
We know again and again that time and proximity are two of the most important factors for creating any kind of relationships, whether that's friendship or illicit affairs. There are just more moments to create more of a connection. So we're obviously spending a lot of time with coworkers. So that just increases the likelihood that we get connected, that we enjoy their company, that we begin to have illicit thoughts about them. And because of the amount of hours we spend at work, for most people, they spend more time with their coworkers than with their lover, just because of how we have these structured work weeks. So it's not surprising that our sexuality gets woken up a little, or we get turned on, or we begin to have thoughts about someone we're spending time with. So it's very understandable.
And what they find is a lot of extramarital affairs in the workplace start very innocently. You start just by talking about your lives, and then you start sharing your problems and your struggles with your domestic life with a trusted coworker. And as you start confiding in them and creating that emotional intimacy, you start feeling heard and understood. And it just goes progressively into more and more intimate kinds of relationships. And then, especially if your marriage at home is struggling, this person at work feels like your confidant and your most trusted, intimate, emotional relationship. And then that segues into a sexual relationship. And so I think we often think about affairs as just being super steamy right off the bat, and you're working late one night and you get thrown on the desk. And while that might be good fodder for erotica short stories, the reality is most affairs start with talking and connecting and building an emotional trust, and then progress into a sexual relationship from there. And so if you are feeling like you're starting to stray from your spouse emotionally, you need to take steps to reinvest in your marriage rather than invest in these relationships with your coworkers.
Yeah, absolutely. There are lots of people who report that that is the moment to prevent infidelity. So as soon as you notice yourself wanting to share intimate things with a coworker that perhaps you should be sharing with your partner, that those are the moments where you can let your partner know that you're having these feelings or conversations and that you want to spend more time together, have more intimate conversations with your lover, and absolutely just as Chris was saying, recommit to your relationship, because that is a great moment to cut it off at the pass, as it were. And people have a lot of success with that.
And the third reason that coworker sex and coworker fantasy is so popular is because of the power dynamics that happen at work. And this shows up super clearly in the common sexual fantasy of boss secretary, where the boss is clearly in a power dynamic over the secretary, and that power is eroticized. Because let's face it, power dynamics are sexy sometimes for some people. And so a lot of coworker fantasies actually is contingent upon power dynamics. And you can look at this a few different ways. If you're thinking about power dynamics in general in your sex life, power, domination, submission, surrender, then you can start exploring that with your lover at home and maybe even do some role playing where you play out these kind of boss secretary fantasies. Another element to this is kind of the use of power as force. And this shows up in the kind of fantasies where a secretary is forced into doing sexual things or else she'll lose her job. Or there's blackmail at work, and the power dynamic is something that's used to force you into doing something that you don't really want to do, but kind of do really want to do, but you're going to say no to. Some people find this kind of power and coercion to be really sexy. And again, if you can identify that in your coworker fantasies, that the coercion itself is kind of sexy to you, then you can bring that into your fantasy life at home and use that as part of your role playing.
This is all in the context of absolute consent, right? I mean, you're taking these dynamics that are really troublesome and problematic in the real life and creating erotic charge around them consensually in your love life. So I think that's obvious, but just to name that.
No, that's a really good point. And I think that's where that fantasy desire boundary that we've talked about in so many episodes comes in. That in real life, if your boss was blackmailing you or threatening that you would be fired,
that's a real problem.
If you didn't suck his cock, like, that is a sexual harassment suit waiting to happen. And it's super uncomfortable and it makes your workday miserable. But in your fantasy life, it can be really hot, especially if your boss is charming and strapping and dominant and really sexy to you. Then people sometimes eroticize coercion and force because it takes the choice away. And this is something we can explore in another episode sometime, but force and coercion within fantasy is a way of giving ourselves permission to do things that don't really fit with our idea of who we are. So if you really think of yourselves as a good girl and you're very much under control and you're, you know, very disciplined and strategic at work, then the fantasy of being out of control and dominated and forced to do naughty things that are sexy to you but not really part of your sexual reality can be really arousing. And so a lot of people use force and coercion and power dynamics within their fantasy as a key to unlock new realms that they don't give themselves permission to go to otherwise.
Beautifully said.
And for these three reasons, and there may be others for other individuals, but office sex and coworker sex can be super arousing as fantasy. But the reality of office sex and sex with coworkers can be much different. While a lot of people have affairs with coworkers, we're not really going to recommend it. Or even a relationship with a coworker if you're not in another relationship. Office romances can be really problematic. Usually they're explicitly forbidden in your employment contract. And even if they're not, they are usually a quick track to office drama and maybe losing your job. And it can just create a whole host of problems for you. So, office romance may not be the best idea in real life, but in your fantasy life, it can be super hot.
So as Chris was saying at the beginning, there are a lot of fantasies that are really outlandish.
Mermaids and aliens, oh my.
Or octopuses.
Or vampires.
Is octopi? Is it octopi?
Anyway.
But co-workers are obviously much more relatable, and you can include small moments from your everyday reality into your fantasies. So it's kind of a way of taking your mundane life and supercharging it and making it more erotic and fun for yourself, as long as you're able to keep those boundaries clear at work.
Right. So, for example, you're in the elevator with your hot coworker as you're leaving work and your elbow brushes against them and you feel that little spark. When you go home and masturbate, you can rewrite that ending. And what would happen if everyone else got off the elevator and the two of you rode to the top floor together? What could happen in that scenario? Or if he followed you to your car and confronted you as you were getting in your car, you can start rewriting the endings of your daily interactions and make them into really hot fantasy for yourself. And that can be a really fun way to incorporate sexual fantasy into your masturbation life. And using these daily details, then when you go back to work and you see your coworker again, or you're in that boardroom with that beautiful oak table that you were splayed across in your fantasy last night, it gives you a little charge. And we really believe that erotic energy can be fuel for your daily life. So if you use this well and responsibly, you can actually become better at your job because you can harness this charge and this energy to make you better at what you're doing at work. And of course, this requires a lot of maturity and discipline, and you don't want to get sloppy with it. And I would recommend not telling other coworkers about your fantasies and have that be part of the rumor mill at work. This is something that you're using internally as part of your own interior sex life to bring you more pleasure, bring you more excitement, and get to know who you are as an erotic being, because that's one of the powers of our fantasies, is it tells you who you are and who you want to be and what you want to experience. And so if you are finding yourself attracted to coworkers or turned on at work, we encourage you to use that as fodder in your sexual explorations within your own fantasy and trust yourself to keep it internal and circulate that energy to fuel the rest of your life, rather than making it a messy, drama-filled encounter in real life. And this is where, you know, within fantasy, you have total control and you can keep it very contained. Whereas if you try to make it a reality, all of the complexities of real life sets in, and all of a sudden you're in an HR meeting being charged with sexual harassment and you thought you were just, you know, innocently flirting with a coworker. So the beauty of fantasy is that there are no real repercussions of the real world and you can make it what you want it to be. So that is our recommendation of what to do with this very common charge of coworker attraction and erotic energy in the workplace. Is bring it into your sexual fantasy life, use it to fuel your own masturbation and erotic fantasies, and help it make you have more fun at work and be more productive. Don't let it make your work a place of drama and consequence.
Yeah, I think that's all very well said, but I really also want to emphasize this piece that it is an advanced erotic skill to be able to have expanded fantasies about somebody that you are in actual reality, in proximity with in reality, and not let that leak out into your relationship with them in reality. So you have to be clear with yourself that you're not bringing some of your own erotic energy to them necessarily.
Well, that's what I mean by containing it. So you let it give you a little thrill, but you remember, it's like having a dream about someone where you dream that, you know, you have a very weird, violent dream with someone and then you see them the next day and it can feel a little weird. Like, were you there too? But they weren't. That was your dream that's inside you. And so you have to go on with your normal relationship. You're right. It is a bit of an advanced emotional skill, but I think our listeners are ready for the challenge. And the option, of course, is to sublimate it and to pretend like it doesn't exist. And that just kind of represses it. And I think that's the formula for if you're working late at night and someone brushes up against you a little too close, that's when it can kind of get really messy because you haven't harnessed that energy and decided what you want to do with it.
Right. So we're saying use that moment as and channel it in a way that you feel safe and that it works within the context of your actual relationship.
Right. And whether or not you're in a relationship. But if you decide for yourself, I'm not going to have affairs with coworkers. I'm not going to have relationships with coworkers. But I might get erotically turned on by some of them. So what am I going to do with that energy? I'm going to pull it inside, use it as fantasy fodder. And that's where it lives. That's where it stays. Because then you can go into work and feel confident and feel sexy and dress sexy and like feel good about yourself.
And be professional.
And radiate. Yeah. And then be a very professional, competent coworker because you know where that charge lives rather than being nervous and timid around someone you find attractive because, well, you don't want to give it away and, oh, but you don't want to flirt. And so then you end up kind of looking incompetent because you're sublimating that energy rather than harnessing it.
So it's really about honoring your own authentic turn on and choosing where you want to direct it, but not shaming yourself for having it, but kind of controlling your own eroticism. And yes. This is a really powerful and
this podcast sexy took a thing. Bit of a turn, yeah. Didn't it? Because this lesson can be used in so many scenarios. And I think this is one of these essential erotic skills. And maybe we'll talk more about this in a future episode. Let us know if you want to hear more. But this idea of harnessing and channeling your own erotic energy and then using it to fuel your life and achieve your goals rather than letting your sex life have control over you and having it be sublimated and repressed and something you struggle with, that transformation is a game changer in life.
Well, or the other option is that sometimes sexual energy is so powerful and so tangible and it feels like it runs us, right? You couldn't help yourself do X, Y, and Z. It takes over. And there is real power in and maturity, as you were saying, in learning how to direct it and cultivate it and own it.
Yeah, and I think this is actually where a lot of charisma comes from. And we know that charisma is a huge part of professional success, no matter what your job is. But confidence and being able to channel energy within you to then connect with others and charm them without it being sloppy and kind of sleazy. The difference between sleazy and charismatic is really about being able to channel and harness your own erotic energy.
Wow, we have a lot more to say about this.
All right. So the bottom line here is sex with coworkers in real life, maybe not a great idea. In fantasy, super hot. And that's why I wrote this erotic short story that Charlotte is now going to read an excerpt from. And I want to make clear here that this is an erotica story. It's fantasy. This is not a how-to recommendation for what you should do with your boss. And to set it up here, our heroine Anne has been a workaholic and totally focused on her professional success. And underneath that is really yearning for a deeper erotic release and has this attraction with her coworker Eric. And this scene that Charlotte's going to read you comes kind of towards the end of the story where they are fully realizing their desire for one another as Anne takes over her new office after a promotion. This is an excerpt from C is for Coworker, part of the Fantasy A to Z series.
Where can they find it, Chris?
I was going to tell them at the end, but since you mentioned it, pleasuremechanics.com/coworker, and you will find the short story.
Eric raised his hands and cradled my chin, tilting my face up so I had no choice but to look right into his eyes. He licked his lips as he stared at me, smiling. "You in?" he asked, leaning forward so his lips were hovering just above my own. In response, I leaned forward and kissed him. As our lips met, my entire body yielded to him, and he scooped me up around the waist, lifting me into the air. I wrapped my legs around his waist and hungrily kissed him so he would feel just how ready I was for him. The 3 days since we had left Santa Fe had been torture, my nights full of fantasy and remembering. I had thought it was over, but now that he was here, I was definitely going to take another dose of him before he left for the East Coast. Eric walked us towards the desk, kissing me as we moved across the floor. Then I felt the smooth wood under my ass and his grip on me released. I didn't want him to let go. So I clenched my legs around him and pulled him tighter, but he pulled away, yanking himself from my embrace. He stepped back, maintaining eye contact. "Strip," he commanded, watching my eyes for a reaction. "You first," I countered, seeing if he would obey. I was ready to take in his chest, ready to see if any of the marks I had left were still visible. "Nope, I'm the boss right now. I'm in charge. Strip or I leave." He crossed his arms, planted his feet wide, and waited for me to make the next move, his eyes sparkling with mischief and desire. Knowing full well he meant what he said, I yielded. "Yes, sir, as you wish," I said, then slid off the desk so I was standing in front of him. I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt, nothing fancy to put on a good show, but I channeled all of the stripteasers I had ever seen and decided to take it slowly. If he wanted a show, I'd give him one. First, I kicked off my shoes and slowly turned around. Then I bent over, giving him a full view of my butt's curves as I leaned over to take off my socks. Standing up straight, I turned to face him. He was beaming, his whole face smiling down at me. Next, I slowly lifted my shirt, revealing my stomach inch by inch. Then, with one firm yank, I pulled my shirt over my head and threw it at him. He caught it midair and lifted it to his nose, inhaling deeply. I kept my bra on for the moment. Emboldened, I unbuttoned my jeans and then slid the zipper down painfully slowly. I was so ready to feel his touch, to be entangled with his muscles, but I knew I was building his desire with every minute I lingered in this tease, so I took my time. Turning around again, I slid my jeans down over my hips, leaning into the desk. I was relieved that I had worn nice underwear. Stepping out of my jeans and kicking them to the side, I hopped up onto the desk and coyly crossed my legs, swinging my ankles. Breathing deep for courage, I caught his gaze and held eye contact with him as I reached around and unhooked my bra, then let the fabric slide over my arms and away from my body. I could see him struggle, both wanting to hold my gaze and look at my body. I leaned back, arching my back and thrusting my breasts towards him. "You'll have to take off the rest, sir," I said, spreading my legs just a bit as an invitation.
Thank you, Charlotte. We love your accent in these moments. This was an excerpt from C is for Coworker, the most recent addition to the Fantasy A to Z series. If you want to vote on what comes next in the series, go to pleasuremechanics.com/fantasyaz and you will find a survey where you can vote on the next installment. And to find this book, go to pleasuremechanics.com/coworker. So we hope this episode has been useful to you as we explore one of the most common sexual fantasies of coworker sex. And I think we tapped into some issues that go bigger than this fantasy and go into what it means to harness erotic desire and erotic energy in general. And I think we found a future podcast episode there. So stay tuned and we will talk more about these themes. And if there's anything you want us to discuss, please head over to pleasuremechanics.com and hit the Ask Us Anything button and ask away. We are here for you.
And remember also at pleasuremechanics.com, you can find our whole suite of video guides and online courses where we have everything you need to know to become a better lover and have more fun in bed. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.